Thank you. Well, have a seat. I want to thank Jerry for allowing me the privilege to share God's word with you guys. Definitely out of my comfort zone here, by the way. But so Jerry asked me to teach on the love of God, and I quickly accepted, and then I thought, love of God? Isn't that like the whole Bible? So Maria said call him back, but I didn't do that. So I'm going to share a little bit about the love of God today. I want to talk about God's love for us. Then I want to try to encourage you to minister love to others. And I think that's God's heart. And we're going to be going down some well-worn paths of God's word. But these are God's words. And, you know, he wouldn't have written them in here if we didn't really need to have them in our hearts. And something I was talking to Bob about is we grow in love. There's a lot of things about love that the Word of God promises, and some of us may not have arrived yet. One thing I think about is there is no fear in love. I heard one man say one time, as far as I know, there's no fear in my heart. I have not arrived at that place. Maybe you have, but there is no fear in love, and I know that because God's Word says that's true. So that's something that we could aim for in our lives, that there could be no fear in our lives and in our hearts. I want to begin in John chapter 3. I thought it also would be fun to look at some of the things that Dr. Werewolf said in Lifelines. I know these things are redundant to you, but they're things that we need to place in our hearts. We were taught by a great man who loved God and ministered a great deal of God's word to us. One thing he said about love is that love, in the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation, is the badge of Christianity. Without love, there is just no joy in living. Be strong in love, kids. I guess he's meant people our age, too. It's not the amount of work you produce that's important. It's the love with which you produce it that is important and will be remembered after the gathering together. Most people get their rewards now, but you and I will receive our rewards both now and throughout all eternity because we have the heart of love. God so loved that he gave, now we must so give that others can learn to live. I'd like to start in John chapter 3, verse 16. You know, this is a favorite verse among football fans. And sometimes it happens that people don't really consider the value of the words of God's word in considering the words that they read. This is a tremendous verse of scripture, and it's very powerful. It deserves much more than a passing camera on a placard. It's the word of God. It says in chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, we talk about how long we have spent in God's word or how many things we have seen. God has been preparing this family for a very long time. The love of God has issued from the beginning of time. That's God is love. And so the love of God is something that's very real to the existence of life. And he so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, we spend a lot of time sometimes, well, I don't want to get into too many different things, but condemnation is not God's way. Love is God's way. We love people into loving. God loved us into loving. That's the standard of life for God and his word, love. And it's really a simple thing. 1 John chapter 4. I had that little expression written down, but I'm not going to read it. You know it. How God, the greatest lover and gave the greatest thing. Guys, these things, they're so cool because they're so real. You know, and sometimes we just have to take the time to digest what we hear and what we think and what we believe. 1 John chapter 4, in verse 10. I'll get there. It says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. The first most important thing for us to remember is that God loves us. He loves us. We may not think that we're worthy of His love, but He does, and that's all that really matters. He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's really about it for the love of God. He gave Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, who always did His will so you and I could have life. How much more is there to say? The value of anything is based on the price you're willing to pay, right? This is it. This is the price right here that God has paid for His only begotten Son. Look around. It doesn't get really any better than this. We are with the family of God. This is it. It doesn't matter where you are. We could be doing this in a little basement with a baby sleeping in the closet. Or we could do it in this magnificent place where the love of God is shed abroad right here. Everything about this place issues forth in love because love went into putting it together. It's an awesome reality. Love is giving, and God set the standard. John chapter 10. You know, we may have a long way to go, but God has taken us a long way, and it's great. And Jesus Christ is coming back, then we get to go the rest of the way. John 10, verse 9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. God loved, He gave. Jesus Christ loved, He gave. And here we are, the family of God. Awesome. What an awesome privilege we have in this time that we could claim a life which is more than abundant based on the energy of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. All we need to do is believe. God is wonderful to us. That's the love of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. So He gave us life more than abundantly. He's provided for us beyond what we could even ask or think. This is the love of God. This is God's love for us. It says in verse 3 that He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You can read the rest. I'm just going to highlight some of the points here. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's chosen us in Him. He's called us, or He made us to be holy and without blame before Him in love. He predestinated us unto to be His children. We are, in verse 6, to the praise of His glory. Think about that. You, individually, are to the praise of God's glory. It's awesome. He paid a great price. We have redemption. We have forgiveness. I have a hard time forgiving myself. That's a big problem for me. But you know what? If I can reflect more on God's love and God's forgiveness, I bet you I could do a better job with forgiving myself. We have an inheritance. In verse 12, He sealed us up. Thank God. Right? Because we needed to be sealed up. There's no way we'd make it to the end line. Or I wouldn't anyway. Verse 14, praise of his glory. Again, he repeats that. God has a tendency to do that, I guess. Jerry pointed that out. Sometimes he just keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again. In verse 10, he says that we are his workmanship. We've learned that this means that we are his masterpieces. It's the love of God that has made you to be his masterpiece. It's the love and commitment of Jesus Christ that has allowed this thing to be who you are. How dare we demean that position of workmanship? We are his masterpieces. Awesome. Romans chapter 8. In Ephesians, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's given us all these things. He's made us to be his masterpiece. And you know what else the Word of God says? That there's nothing that can separate us from him loving us. Dean talked about his child. You know, kids don't always do what you think they're going to do. You think you get upset when she does, when she runs away from the lawnmower? I hope that's the end of it. But let me tell you. Let me tell you, and I speak from experience, that no matter what that child does, you will love her. That's the way God loves us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8. Broke the window. I was happy when he broke the window. He's playing baseball. It was good. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the love of God. God is for you. You know, you run into circumstances in your life, in your job, in your world. But you know what? God is for you. God is on your side. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God justified. Who is he that condemneth? Christ. Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Once in a while, I feel like I have to talk to Jesus Christ, say, listen, I really screwed up here. Can you speak for me? Can you speak on my behalf here? And that's the confidence that we have to know that God has put it in place so we can always have a way back because he loves us. He loves us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know what all those things mean? Look them up. They're right there for you to enjoy. As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, all those things mentioned, we are more than conquerors. Do you feel some tribulation at times? We are more than conquerors. That's it, because that's what the Word of God says. And that's because he loves us. I would have called for a champ, but Jerry stopped that. I was trying to get you a dollar back, but that's all right. Hey, he loves us. If that's all we leave here with today, one thing, he loves us, then God bless. If we could get two things out of this, he loves us, and therefore I can love others, wonderful. Okay? So that's where we're going. All of this is, that's all about that. God loves you. Leave with that. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. How much is there in that? That's just about everything. None of those things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the adversary is the great accuser, but even in his accusations, if we don't buy in, then we cannot be separated from the love of God. We cannot. God's love for us is incredible. Look at 1 John chapter 3. I told Maria I didn't think I had enough material, and now I have to rush. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, pay attention to this one. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's a reflection of the love of God. That should ring a bell. We all understand this father-son relationship to some extent. Either we are the children of someone, or we are the parents of someone. And we understand what love is. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Most parents have children with the expectation that those children will be the object of their love. They want to bless them and give them more than they ever had. They save and plan in order to provide the very best for their children. They love them unconditionally. God is no different. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And at this point in time, the administrations have changed, and we know that God did give more than we could ask or think. He's given us the greatest gift that there is, Holy Spirit. We know that because we speak in tongues. And we know that there is no greater way to live life than with this gift. Because this gift puts us above the world. Jerry talked about it last night. Body and soul, bag of bones, spirit, whole new thing going on here. We live in a realm outside of the world. We live in the same realm that Jesus Christ lived in. We can get the same results he did because of what God has accomplished through his work. And because he so loved that he gave. 1 John chapter 4. Dr. Worrell used to talk a lot about how we live so far below par. I guess he was right. But you know what? Wherever we live, and this I was talking to Bob about this, wherever we are, it's fine. Because we could always grow to be better. Dean talked about 30 years in Jesus Christ's life and all that he accomplished. Hopefully we have 30 years, should the Lord tarry. We have 30 years to improve this love walk. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Now we're talking about our opportunity to love and minister the love of God. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Love is a decision. You choose to love or not to love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Dr. Worrell said one time, people could get, I forget how it goes. It's a good thing it's not the word. People could get enough hell in a minute or something and never get enough love, however that goes. You know, it's easy to criticize and tear people down. It's another thing to minister love, regardless of the circumstances. People deserve to be loved the most. People are should be loved the most when they deserve to be loved the least, or whatever that is. You know what I'm trying to say, right? Sorry. But that's the point I'm trying to make, that we need to reach out sometimes. Sometimes it's the unlovable that really need the love of God from us in our hearts. Jesus Christ hugged that leper. You know? We have people in our fellowships probably that really could use a lot of love. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because so as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. So when there's fear, there's no fear in love. So we could always make the decision to love rather than be afraid. It's a choice. Jerry was talking about peace last night, and he talked about how he has to fight with his mind to maintain the peace. Well, similarly here, we can fight with our minds to maintain the love. When fear attacks, we have love at our defense. John chapter 15. Gospel of John. Well, it would have to be, right? Gospel of John chapter 15. Verse 9. 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's the way he did it. He just obeyed. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This is the love of God. Here is a decision based on a passion to see God's word come to pass. Love is a decision. Let me just say this. Love is a decision based on a passion for what we desire. The love of money is the root of all evil. The problem here is that the person has a passion for this thing which he desires, which is money. Love and passion are harmonious, the same thing, whatever the right word is, Jesse. The greater the passion, the more we are willing to give. Jesus Christ's passion to do God's word was to the end that he would be willing to give his life. Thank God that that has been handled. Now we can choose our passion based on a decision to love. To what extent? Your call. Your decision. You build the passion in your heart. This is a free will walk, right? Hasn't changed. That's the one of the great things that we have in this Word of God, is the freedom of will to choose, to decide, to live, and to be blessed or not. 1 John chapter 2. So I'm blessed to be here. And I'll be honest with you. This is something that I have to work on in my life to some extent. Maybe you could work on it if you think it's appropriate. Maybe you don't need to work on it anymore. I don't know. But I do know that there's value in this Word of God, and I do know that this Word works. And that's why we're all here right now, because we definitely believe the Word of God is true. And we've seen it work in our lives. So we want to remember all the time that God loves me. Even when I do stupid things, He loves me. And I want to reach out and come to the place where I can minister that love of God to others. Then I won't be so enamored or so overwhelmed with the fear and the concerns and the anxiety, because I'll have love at the root of my heart rather than all the rest of the stuff that's in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world. That's your call. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can't serve God and mammon. There's no room. We spend our lives sometimes, days of our lives, maybe weeks, hopefully not years, sitting on a fence. Love not the world. No passion for the things of the world. Passion for God and His Word. Passion for the Word to come to pass in your life. Passion for the believers. Passion for the hope. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, it's of the world. We are tempted every day. And we know that God's love is unconditional. After all, we're the sons of God. We can respond to that love with believing as Jesus Christ did, or we could set aside His love and dignify the passions of the world. Your call. Your choice. God loves you anyway. That's not going away. Nothing separates us from the love of God. So, you want to go to 1 Corinthians 13? This is the way you get it done. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. A lot of noise. And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Got to be careful of that stuff. Charity suffers long and it's kind. It envies not. You have control of that. It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own. I find that the contrast in my life between love and anything else is selfishness. Man has a tendency to be selfish. It's because of the devil. But we have, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, right? He rejoices not in iniquity, but He rejoices in the truth. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Charity never fails. Charity never fails. The love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation never fails. That's what it says. But whether there be tongues, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Let me leave you with this last verse here, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. That's it. Thank you.